Hello, everybody, and welcome, the very, very warmest of welcomes to everybody to Miracle Hour with John Campbell. And you can tell it's not John Campbell. Today, I'm doing the show. I'm Mary, his wife. And it's an absolute pleasure for me to be doing this and trying to fill up these enormous shoes that my beautiful husband walks around in. Anybody that doesn't know him, he's a 6'5" man, so those shoes are pretty big. I think all of me could fit into one of them. But the show's about miracles, and that's who he is, and that's what seems to happen around John. Today, when he actually told me that he was not going to be able to do this show because what he's done is gone to Italy with his children on a very well-deserved break. He's taken Lisa and Rachel and David and Mikey for a week, and that's to recharge his batteries and their batteries. And he said to me that he would love me to fill in, and he also said, talk about what you like. And I thought, well, my God, that's pretty dangerous to say that to a woman. Just, you know, let loose and say what you want to say. But the thing that I want to talk about is kindness. And that's the thing that really means so very much to me. And it's what I want to attract into my life. That's what I want to give out. And that's what I've decided that we could talk about today, and I have a wonderful person who's going to come on in a minute to help me talk about that, because she's doing some magnificent things to propel kindness outwards and onwards. And before I introduce her, I'll just tell you a little tiny bit about who I am and the work that we're doing here in beautiful, supernatural British Columbia. John and I have a home, a beautiful place that we have put out, that we are wanting to gather in like-minded people and do our work. And as some of you may know, John's just finishing his book and is doing tremendous work with one-on-one counselling and workshops. He's just completed a wonderful workshop in Scotland on miraculous relationships that was wonderful. He's an expert, and I'd like to wish my beautiful stepdaughter Jackie, who's in Edinburgh, a very happy birthday, a belated one. John's doing wonderful things, and I came to my waking up not very gently, sadly, but that's what a lot of us kind of tends to happen. My waking up wasn't a little nudge and, you know, it's time to get up, Mary. Mine was a very, you know, my dark night of the soul, which was a 3-year pulverizing battle getting out of a marriage, 20-year marriage, and a custody war. And for people that are familiar with that word, narcissism, I unfortunately had to, and still to some degree have to, battle with an ex-partner who those tendencies are there. So my waking up came through a very dark night of the soul, and I love the Thomas More saying that that torture the soul into a new level of awakening, and that's kind of what happened for me. And John came into my life at a fabulous time to really keep guiding me in the right direction, which is his gift. He seems to be able to show people the next step, and he is a miracle maker, and I get to be married to this wonderful person who, like a lot of women can say to their husbands, you know, can you move the couch a little bit over, or I want this changed or that. I can look out and say, John, that mountain right there, a little bit to the left, and it happens. So I'm kidding about the mountains, but the fact is that some of my life challenges have been mountains, and he's helped me so much with that. So our home has become a community. We do workshops here, one-on-one counselling, and it's in a way of encouraging kindness and joy and all of those things that make us all tick. And this has been created by some other women who are beloved friends of mine, and we call the place Anamkara, which you probably, some people might know that as in the ancient Celtic saying that Anamkara is soul friends, where there's, you know, deeply loving and intense relationship which crosses all, you know, boundaries and convention and morality and category, and it's a place where everybody's accepted and understood, and it doesn't matter if you're not blood, you're family, and that's what we have here, Anamkara, that's it. And my Anamkaras that helped, and not helped, that co-created this place, and we acknowledge that, you know, we're co-creating with the divine, so I'd like to call it co-creating. My Anamkaras are Sue Lawson, a magnificent fellow Australian that's up here, just a phenomenal healer, although she doesn't now feel comfortable with that word. Just a facilitator for change is what Sue does, and she has been a large part of my healing and my life. And Virginia Smith, a Reiki master and screenwriter, workshop leader, teacher, and one of my most beloved mentors and dearest friends. And Brenda Wallace, she's a holistic life coach, business degree, and feet in both worlds is our Brenda, and she's a wonderful person. And Penny Wilmot, I've got to say hi to you, Penny, and Charlotte, and Sebi, and Matilda, if you're listening. Penny is part of here too, and she's like a prophet in the world as far as I'm concerned. She just seems to always end up where she's needed. She's this incredible being of light, and we call her a prophet, and then we realized that we were sending her out to profiteer, and then we thought how funny that was. And Penny really laughed the loudest on that. But we're all very easily amused, as you can probably tell. But just some incredible people that are here. And I also want to say that Anamkara is a place where we all belong. And I want to bring in my beautiful guest right now, and say that she is a spectacular human being, and she is an ambassador, really, because it seems everywhere that Debbie goes, you know that it's going to be better when she gets there. She's got a smile that makes me feel a little bit kind of emotional thinking about that smile, because it's just so warm, and that's what we all need. And she is about kindness, and she has some projects that she's going to talk to us and about. And so I would, with enormous pleasure, invite Debbie onto the line and say hello to you on a grey Vancouver lunchtime.
Well, thank you so much, Mary, for that beautiful, warm welcome and introduction. And it is just such an honor to be here with you and with everyone listening today.
So Debbie, can you tell me and us a little bit about just your background and some of the, you know, the acts of kindness and just the start of your story?
Okay, that sounds great. Well, as I've been reflecting today, I thought really the roots of my interest in kindness began really when I was a child. My father was in the military, and so we traveled across Canada, living in many new places, attending many different schools, and it felt like, to me and my six siblings, the most important thing that could happen when we went to a new school was another child really accepting us for who we were. And so, you know, that was such a critical thing to how we felt connected in the new community.
Right.
And, a simple act to be asked to play when you're little,
absolutely.
But huge.
Yeah, it makes all the difference, isn't it?
And it truly does. And then in my adult years, I decided to become an elementary school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, promoting this key value of helping children be concerned about others and the feeling of others and, you know, and taking action in that direction, I got to model that and promote that in my classrooms for about 20 years. So really, really neat to see how that can unfold for children.
I agree, and I'm thinking, too, of all of the, you know, with a little bit of jealousy in a way of wishing that I had been in the classroom that you taught, or that my beautiful five children would have been with a teacher like that, because it can be a place where it hurts the most, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like each classroom is like a little microcosm of society, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
We have children, you know, at different stages of evolution, we might say, and, you know, displaying different kinds of behaviors for sure.
Yeah.
So it's really neat to be kind of the captain of the ship, if you will, and help, because kindness really does need to be taught.
Yeah. Do you feel that it is something that you have to get the hang of?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's modeled in the home from the parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if it's not so much that, then hopefully the school system can help the child as well.
Yeah.
So
just
as we teach two different kinds of intelligence, we want to build a child's moral intelligence as well.
And right.
Kindness is like the number one value.
It really, you know, if nothing else for my own children, if I think that their hearts are coming from that place, I feel that I have mothered well.
Absolutely, Mary. Yes.
And so, Debbie, what did what happened as far as the project that's so intriguing and also so much fun is the one that I've heard now a little bit about, the Kindness Coin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I might have to just back up a tiny bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Get to the Kindness Coin.
Okay, go ahead.
So in 1994, when I was living in Edmonton, something very sad happened in our community. A young mother was murdered in her home.
Mm.
And my sister, Colleen Ring, who is also a teacher, taught in the area where this woman was murdered. And the woman she'd been just such a lovely part of the community, so it really affected people in the community, but also the children at the schools where she volunteered. And my sister she kept thinking, how do I explain this to children in grade 2?
Mm-hmm.
And she was moved to write a program called Kids for Kindness, with all kinds of different activities to help children connect in the school, through kindness, through their hearts. And before she knew it, her staff was on board, and this program actually won a Hilroy Fellowship. So it was very, very encouraging. At the same time, she received a very special little book from a friend who noticed, you know, that Colleen was really into kindness, called Random Acts of Kindness, printed through Canary Press in the U.S.
Right.
And they were talking about starting up a kindness revolution in 1995,
right,
promoting an idea called Random Acts of Kindness Week.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, Colleen enlisted my help, and we were able to get Random Acts of Kindness Week proclaimed by the mayor of St. Albert,
a
city just north of Edmonton. And wouldn't you know it, Mary, but the whole thing took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
It was almost like we could, well, you know, there was still the hard work and dedication and organizing things, but people loved it, embraced it.
Right.
Because it was simple.
Simple, and isn't it interesting how when you've got a project like that, it becomes effortless.
True.
To some degree. It takes,
yeah,
as you say, that it just... It moves,
exactly,
without assistance.
And then by 1996, the mayor of Edmonton had proclaimed the week as well.
Oh.
We were having great big launches at City Hall. We had the media involved, the newspaper involved, the Alberta Teachers Association involved.
Oh, my goodness.
And so within a few years of the inception of this whole project, there it was. The information was getting out to every teacher in Alberta.
Mm.
So it just, and it was so interesting for Colleen and I, because being frontline teachers ourselves, we were able to see what would happen in a school when the focus became kindness. And, of course,
yeah,
the activities would be designed by the students and the staff to make everything very meaningful and empowering.
Right. And so did you almost find that children, almost you were giving them permission,
yes,
to tap into a,
yes,
sweetness inside of themselves that,
well,
you know,
I
often...
Well, I think something, Mary, that we just take for granted,
yeah,
you know, that children know.
Yeah.
You are absolutely correct. It's like not only giving permission, but actually setting the stage.
Yes.
For them to be... Or we would even say this to the community or the radio stations, to be wildly courageous,
yeah,
in their kind acts. And we would say, really, you're only limited by your imagination.
Yes. Oh, my God, I can feel how expansive that whole idea is,
mm-hmm,
you know, just because of where it's starting from.
And needless to say, we had our cynics along the way.
What was that?
We had our cynics along
you
the way.
Did. Yeah.
But we just held firm, knowing that what we'd already seen and witnessed, you know, felt like our truth.
Yes.
That kindness does live in, you know, in so many hearts, and that is the place where we are all understood and accepted.
Right.
And for us, we really saw kindness as love in action.
Yeah.
And love in action as a path to peace.
Yeah, yeah. It's so simple, but it does work that way.
Absolutely, it's so profound. And you know, we would be getting quotes and artwork from children along the way, and you know, saying that, you know, this is such a contagious thing.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
And as children would witness this on the playground or, you know, even as you walked into the school, a child might hold the door open for you and smile.
Yeah.
Like, these things are so profound.
Oh, absolutely. And how wonderful for you to have been part of that, because
absolutely,
even if all of those children, none of those children have an opportunity to feel that again, you know, in their work environment or in their home or whatever, they've experienced it, you know, then with you, and you know, they don't forget.
Exactly.
They know that it feels good, and people want to feel good.
That's right. So it was so interesting then, Mary, because it was like the next level of the story began in 1996. So, you know, Colleen and I were just doing our volunteer thing,
yeah,
and seeing the rewards, and suddenly we received a letter from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
From the Small Kindness Movement of Japan. We had no idea they existed.
Yes. Yeah.
And so they were sending us a letter saying they had heard about our work through the Random Acts of Kindness project in the United States.
Right.
And they would love to gather together like-minded individuals from countries to talk about the possibility of visioning a kinder world.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, I mean, it's just so great. We're in the miracle hour here.
it is a miracle there.
That just felt like beyond anything that Colleen and I could have ever dreamt would happen.
Oh, how brilliant. So what happened? Did you both go to Japan?
We both went to Japan, exactly. And, you know, there we were met by, I think there were six other countries at that first conference in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And we had no idea, but the Small Kindness Movement of Japan had been formed in, 1963,
mm-hmm.
in preparation for their Olympics.
Right.
They wanted the focus to be a more courteous society.
Right.
And so there were actually 2.5 million members of the Small Kindness Movement of Japan in 1996.
Oh, wow.
With membership reaching, like, through government, through their, you know, some amazing corporates, and most of all through the school.
Yeah.
So it was a huge eye-opener for Colleen and I, a huge affirmation that we were on the right track.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So, you know, from there, there have been several World Kindness Conferences. And so, you know, if our listeners can even just imagine, like, sitting at a world table. Now, Colleen and I had never had any experience like this before in our lives. Simultaneous translation is going on.
Unbelievable.
Right? And, you know, we're sitting with Christians and Buddhists and Muslims and...
Oh, good Lord. There would have been a lot of pinching yourselves.
A lot of pinching. But to see that no matter where these people were from, what walks of life, what, you know, line of work they were in, we were all sitting there agreeing about how our world could use a little bit more kindness.
Oh, Debbie, that is absolutely brilliant. And did you were you able to tap into things that they were doing that you could so that you didn't have to reinvent the wheel and bring things back?
A lot of that.
Yeah.
We all just began sharing ideas and concepts and that sort of thing. But most of all, I think it lit all of our fires to continue that we weren't alone.
Right.
In this. And so we were able to carry, like, a letter from the Prime Minister at that time and that sort of thing.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And the representative from Australia, Brian, was able to bring a letter actually from the Dalai Lama encouraging this work as well.
Yeah. How?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're the stories. So, you know, just to encourage us all that, you know, that we can make a difference.
It's true. And you know that these amazing things can happen on so many levels.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like having your eyes open, having the heart in the right place.
Yeah.
You just never know what might happen.
No, that's for sure.
So I would just like to say then to the listeners that you can just go to the worldkindness.org.sg website, see the history of the movement. You can now take a look at many World Kindness members' websites from this movement, where they show different activities that they're involved in, that sort of thing. So from a humble, I think it was maybe 6 countries in the beginning, we now have 19 countries involved.
Oh, that is so wonderful. That is the way that it all has to move.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, an area that we might think of as kind of fuzzy and a soft marshmallow place is really a critical place. And I think especially as, you know, we around the world want to see more harmony, this is a beautiful place to begin.
That's just so incredibly powerful. So what are you doing things, you know, projects here now?
Well, so so as things continued, you know, the whole Random Acts of Kindness work continued in Alberta. And then in 2002,
right,
in my own personal life, I met an incredible man named Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me what, you know, my greatest dream was. And I said, well, actually, I've been involved in this kindness work, and I would love to travel to these countries and actually film the activities that are going on. And I would like to see what the face of kindness looks like around the world.
Mm, yeah.
And so, again, here in the Miracle Hour,
yes.
this wonderful man said, yes, let's do it. And so from September 2002 until the end of May of 2003, we traveled to 16 countries and filmed a World of Kindness.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't really have any filmmaking expertise,
mm-hmm.
but we went for it anyway.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole other story involved with how we actually were able to get this put into a documentary.
Right.
Which we have sold as a fundraiser for this wonderful project that I want to tell you about called the Coinspiracy.
Right.
Now, this is actually a project that got going thanks to the incredible dedication, hard work, and dream work of two wonderful women, Nadine Marshall and Gail Smith from
mm-hmm.
the Vancouver area. So they had the idea of developing a pay-it-forward kindness coin.
Right.
And the kindness organization here in Vancouver is called Kind Acts. So
mm-hmm.
that's KINDACTS.net. And they wanted something very tangible that schools or youth groups could really hold on to make kindness more real.
Right.
And so this is an incredible initiative that really encourages children to be kinder and then to share what they have done on the website with other participants from around the world.
That is so wonderful. That is connection.
So it was just so neat when Mark and I got back from our trip around the world. I really felt called to help with the piloting of the Coinspiracy internationally.
Right.
And so within the two-year pilot, 140 coins, which we call the UNI, which is short for Universal.
Oh, lovely.
Were invested in kind action, resulting in an estimated 100,000 humanitarian acts.
Oh, that's
171,000 hours of community service and $220,000 raised for communities in over 45 countries.
That is miraculous.
Absolutely. So you just think, and you know, the beautiful embracing of this project.
Are the coins, they're numbered, are they? Or
the coins each have their own unique number.
Right.
And the coin is now sent out in a little kit. So there are brochures, posters that go with it, postcards, and a DVD with
mm-hmm.
a wonderful explanation of how to, and then also all kinds of examples of what schools and youth groups can do once they get the coin.
Mm-hmm.
So the coin, when the school does launch their Coinspiracy, the school is invited to commit three kind acts. So it's like kind act for self, environment, and another.
Right.
And so when you look at kind acts for self, you know, that can be anything. Again, it's always great for the students themselves to decide, but it can even be like, wow, why don't we just boost the manners in our school, right?
Yeah.
Just to make it kinder to ourselves. And then, I mean, an environmental example would be maybe the school would decide to have a litterless lunch.
Yeah.
Litterless lunches, and see
yeah.
how much they could reduce on garbage for the environment, or doing different cleanup campaigns.
Right.
And then the kindness to others would be, well, you know, maybe we could fundraise for a little school in Africa or something like
right.
that. And then the coin, it's optional. They can decide on where they want the coin to go next, or it could go to the place that you're doing the kindness for the other.
Oh.
For.
This is so fun and beautiful.
Oh.
And were you saying that they go into the high schools as well as the...
Absolutely, the high
yeah.
schools. It can be a scouting group. We were
yeah.
even having a coin going to a hockey team.
Oh, that's wonderful. And
yeah.
that's in Canada, or...?
Well, it where, you know, the coin's gone into 45 countries. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a large interest in Canada for sure.
Yeah.
And what's really exciting, we've now added a traveling document for the coin in the kit, and so it has its own passport.
Oh, Debbie, this is beautiful.
We want to see how far these coins go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like dropping that little pebble into the ocean and seeing where the ripples are.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's just, you know, there's no ceiling. It's just how fun can you get, how imaginative can you get
exactly
with it.
There are no limits.
Yeah.
And again, it's that empowering children. I get so concerned for kids when, you know, you turn on the news every night or the different violent television shows and you think, actually, trying to promote kindness in your school is really countercultural in a way.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this way, the stories of what they've done get put up on the website as well, on the Invest in a Kinder World website. And so, the students can see what's going on around the world and see how their stories and their actions have impacted others as well.
Oh. It's a fabulous, fabulous movement.
Thank
It's the type of thing that you might be, you know, you might think about when you're just about asleep of, wouldn't it be nice if?
Mm-hmm.
But, you're making, and the other people that are
yeah.
part of it are really making a difference.
It's true. Well, you know, you just think, what side of the coin do you want to live on?
Yeah.
And it's just doing what you can, right, to make a difference. That's how it feels to me. You think our lifetime is really short in a lot of ways.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. And so the documentary, where is that now? Where is it something that people can access, did you say? Or?
Well, they could certainly contact me. And like I said, we do like to sell it as a fundraiser for the Coinspiracy.
Right.
So, yes, that is definitely available.
And what other things? Are you doing more travel yourself? Or?
Well, actually, I've been invited to attend the next World Kindness Conference, which is in Singapore in November, so I'm very
Lovely.
Excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been another wonderful ripple effect from the filming that Mark and I did in the Mathari Valley slums of Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
A young producer-director filmmaking couple saw that piece and were very moved by it and have since gone into Kenya themselves to film a documentary about grandmothers raising their grandchildren because,
right.
of course, the parents have died of AIDS. So
right.
that project is going to be alive and well in Vancouver as well. It's called mm-hmm. The Grandmother's Tribe, and the screening is going to be October 31st as a fundraiser for the
right.
Dalai Lama Center in Vancouver.
And where is the Dalai Lama Center
in
Vancouver?
Well, it doesn't exist in a concrete way yet.
Right.
But it's existing in a fundraising way.
Right.
And definitely in the hearts of people in Vancouver.
Wonderful. I love the sound of the film. Are they the New Zealand couple?
They are the New Zealand
right.
couple who
yes.
we synchronistically met and who made our film.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh my goodness. It's a magnificent journey.
It
and
really
everything interconnects.
Yes.
That's absolutely brilliant. So the next thing for you now is Singapore.
Yes, yes. And then helping out, you know, in whatever way I can with the Coinspiracy.
Right.
And just being open to where all that leads.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just find it so interesting, Mary, that I was led to your beautiful place of kindness.
Well, I was certainly grateful to have you and your wonderful husband, Mark, come. And like I said before, it's you really are someone that I think that I can feel you coming when you're still in the car 5 miles down the road.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got that type of warmth, and I'm just so very happy that we have connected, and what's happening here at Anamkara is, I hope that it can, climb on to the wagon also and be used in some way.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I notice about what's happening here at Anamkara is and this is to do with what the word Anamkara actually means when you can't really have a mask up when you're really in the presence of real love or real acceptance. That mask, it ain't going to hold up, and it's going to collapse around your feet, and sometimes that can be a little bit messy, but that's okay. And I find that is what happens here at Anamkara.
Absolutely.
It's a place where people are coming and they are just having a turn of really being authentic, completely authentic, and not, for some reason they're kind of given a signal that nobody's going to judge them,
right.
and just have a go at what that might look like. And of course, the other thing that we've got going now and we're developing is our Enchanted Trail.
Yes.
And you had an opportunity to go on it.
I did.
It's a beautiful trail on the property here that we have started to turn into a very whimsical space. And the last function that we had here, we had rocks that we had collected. Sue and Eleanor and Penny and I had gone down to White Rock in BC here, collected all these lovely rocks, and then as the people gathered, we asked them to pick out words out of a little basket, and then whatever they got to write on the rock and put it on the trail. And, it sounds very, very simple, but it was so powerful.
Very powerful.
It's about being 50 years old and whether somebody's looking or not, actually having a little skip along the trail, and we've hidden cute little porcelain fairies and things under leaves and behind trees and things, and I think that's what it is all about, isn't it? Reaching.
And I've never actually had the opportunity to go on an Enchanted Forest walk before.
Oh, you hadn't?
I really, really appreciated your invitation to play and to be in the now and to be delighted.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm pleased for that, and it all connects up, doesn't it? Because even though you're saying that it is kindness is a thing that needs to be modeled, at our very deepest place, and our purest essence is love.
Yeah.
And that's going to show in this type of, I guess we're saying, way of behaving.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think because, the intention that you and John and friends hold for Anamkara, is really that one of unconditional love and acceptance. So what you're creating is just so special.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Yeah. And now with Mark, too, I want for you to let our listeners know, for the ones that are in our local area, Mark is doing some wonderful work also.
Yes. Well, first of all, he's a massage therapist, and he works out of Debbie and Mike Lang's clinic.
Right.
He is also a Qigong teacher, and the kind of Qigong that he teaches is called Shenzhen, which is the Qigong of loving kindness. So I guess it was no mistake that him and I were supposed to meet.
None at all.
As well. Wow. And Mark is also a medical intuitive.
Yeah.
That's
so
wonderful. He wears several hats.
Yes, they're the musical. That's part of the music in the life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Changing those hats.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so in awe of what you do, and so interested to keep in touch with what you're doing and be part of it. And
great.
We will do that. I'll say that anything that you can see that I can help you with, let me say, ask away. And
thank you so much, Mary.
That's something that would be wonderful. And are there any other things that you would like just to put out while we've got the opportunity?
Right. Well, I came across a very interesting quote this morning.
Right.
From Khalil Gibran.
Yeah.
From 1926.
Right.
And I just thought it might be appropriate for today.
Yeah.
I have learned silence from the talkative, toleration from the intolerant, and kindness from the unkind. Yet strange, I am ungrateful to those teachers.
Mm.
So you just think learning kindness from the unkind. Because
yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to perhaps, you know, fully process when unkindness does happen to us.
Right.
And so you just, I just thought it might be interesting to just add that little twist in there.
I like that a lot. I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said for struggle too. It's not unless there is some struggle that you really do kind of start to you know, break out. For me, it's the whole awakening thing.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, it doesn't happen with a little bit of noise and you know, bumping awake and
yeah.
So that's life, isn't it?
And like you said, you know, your journey through the dark night of the soul, you know, then when the light is there, you are even more appreciative.
I think so, yeah.
And then we wonder who, you know, when we run into someone who isn't having a good day or whatever, or is acting unkindly, it's always good to step back and wonder what their day has been like, what dark nights are they experiencing, and how can we sprinkle in or inject some more kindness into their lives?
Absolutely.
Instead of ostracizing.
I think, do you know that Ralph Waldo Emerson saying that when it is dark enough, you can see the stars?
Mm,
I love that one too.
Right.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful.
It is.
And in chatting with, you know, a very successful businessman in Japan, he said his dream was for his employees to wake up each day with just an attitude of kindness.
Oh, yeah.
Like the heart being open to the expected and the unexpected ways that we have the choice in the moment to respond.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always in our hands, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah.
I heard a really nice story from a friend the other day, actually. She said she was downsizing, and so thought, oh, we'll have a garage sale. But she said instead they decided to just put everything in the garage sale up for grabs. Like people could just
lovely.
Come and take it
yeah.
and give a donation to a charity of a charity that they were deciding on at the garage sale.
Oh, how wonderful.
And she said people gave even more
yes.
for the goods because they were just so tickled about the whole thing.
That is wonderful.
Isn't
Debbie?
That a great kind of
That's
story?
That's a wonderful story. And that also reminds me of my beautiful friend, Gabby, here, up here in Vancouver, who told me that she took her girls, Jade and Ruby, to the swimming pool last weekend. And they were out in the little park outside, and there was a mum there with two other little, I think they were boys. And she had brought along to the park a great big tub of ice cream and cones, mm-hmm. and she was giving out ice cream cones to all of the kids. Gabby said that she probably gave out at least 60 ice creams, and she said that she was wanting to teach her boys about kindness and Aww. Gesturing and doing something without expecting something back. And she was telling Gabby that what she got were all these, at least 60 smiles on these little kids' faces. And I thought that was massive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you just think these simple things leave huge imprints on hearts all the way around.
They certainly do, yeah. We can get the hang of it. I know we can.
We can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, well, Debbie, thank you so much for being with me and spending the time with me today, filling in for John.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thank you for what you're doing, too, because we need ambassadors like you.
Thank
we
you.
Desperately need them.
Well, I just feel like a very blessed messenger just to carry this forward.
Yeah. Well, we love you for it. And
thank you.
And we certainly will be keeping tabs and wanting to be part of it as well.
Thank you very much, because we all are a part of it, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, the teacher in me and the coach in me would just like to, you know, just to re-mention to our listeners, too, that, you know, the World Kindness Movement is totally grassroots, and that there is even a World Kindness Day on November 13th.
Oh, okay, that's wonderful.
And so that's a special time for people to focus on kindness all over the world, and it's up to you how you celebrate.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we'll shoot to be doing acts of kindness, you know, before that November date, but make something special of that.
It's never limited to
one
day.
It's never limited. And actually, I'm just remembering, too, Sue and Penny and I went to the movie that's just out now, the Evan Almighty movie.
Oh.
And I don't know if you or any of our listeners have seen it yet.
I haven't.
We were so excited and surprised because a theme of that movie was random acts of kindness.
Really?
That theme was in there. And it's a very mainstream movie, and yet so many subtle little, you know, suggestions that usually are only in the, you know, the books and the self-help section of the bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those lovely little things snuck in under the radar of that movie, and it was really fun to see that.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, it's well worth going and taking your little kiddies to see it as well.
Oh, that is good to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that's exactly what we're talking about today, like hope, right?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of hope out there. There's, you know, what I'm talking about is just a sample of some of the projects around kindness. And
yeah.
You know, and your beautiful retreat center offers people places where they can be and dream.
Yes, absolutely, Debbie. Mm. Well, thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
We'll look forward to seeing you again and just keeping tabs and through John continuing on the show here, he'll be able to keep us up to date, everybody up to date on anything that you need to let us know about. And
okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And for me, I would love to say hello to my beautiful mum.
Ah,
makes me emotional.
Mm.
And my brother Stephen, they got up at 5 a.m. Australia time to listen to their girl, you know, stumble my way through a radio hour, and just want to say how much I appreciate everybody down there, and to say to Stephen that he's my younger brother, and just to say that you being born meant that I was only here for 20 months before I had a soulmate. So thank you for that, Stephen. And thank you to all of the wonderful people that make my life so happy and blessed. And to my children, Lee and Geordie and Zoe and Cody and Darcy, who have had to struggle alongside with my stuff, you know, thank you to them and lots of love, and particularly to my daughter, to Zoe. I think of the saying by a French novelist that life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. And when I think of my daughter Zoe, I think that she's in for an enormous life, because the courage of my daughter is phenomenal. So just to say hello to everybody there, and to thank you all so very much for listening. And John will be back next week, and much, much love to you, John. If you're able to listen, you have made such a difference in my life and everybody else's that you touch, and I appreciate you beyond words. And to say that my very favorite poet is Rumi, and I'd like to finish by saying one of his little passages, that out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field, and I'll meet you there. And when the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. So I'm wishing everybody joy and freedom and love, and hoping to know that you all are the recipients of random kind acts, and that we all get more and more the hang of living from that space and working from that space and trying hard to do the best that we can for each other, because it makes life a nicer ride. And as you say, Debbie, it's a short one. Mm-hmm. And thank you all so very much.